Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Pioneer Podcasting presents House of Kim with Kim Zolciak Bierman. Join Kim, her husband, and 6 children as she shares her journey to success and the positive mentality that brought her here. Come on in and make yourself at home. Now here's your host, Kim Zolciak Bierman.
Welcome back, you guys, to a brand new episode of House of Kim, where we unapologetically share the ups and downs of our unpredictable life. And just like you guys, always trying to find a way to inspire and increase positivity in our daily lives. Okay, moms out there. Oh, boys. Oh, boys. Oh, boys. Had to rush Cash to the ER again. She's back, guys. We're going to be bringing Brielle on in just a bit and let her tell you about the wild time that she had in Miami that I was around for a lot on FaceTime.
Yeah.
For the Super Bowl, and where she ran into one of the most well-known rappers in the entire world that knew who she was.
Yeah, who she was.
She got a text message, or I got a text message, me and Ariana, 2 o'clock in the morning. He knows who I am. He said, "What's up, Brielle?"
Yep.
I was like, "Is that all it takes? Like, is that all it takes, sweetie?" And speaking of the Super Bowl, love or hate him, I happen to love him. You can learn from Tom Brady in your own personal life. And it comes down to one thing that has zero to do with football.
Yep. We're not getting into the football talk. Total different talk.
Get a call from the school, from the nurse. Cash is crying. He hurt his arm on the playground. Croy usually goes to a place of like, get back in class. And Cash has been like having stomach aches and like needs a Tums from the nurse and more often this year than any other year.
Yeah. And we'll start off by saying that Cash is, out of all the kids, probably dislikes school the most. Mm-hmm. He likes his friends. He likes to hang out with them. He likes the fun time. He enjoys PE and things. But
he's like his mother.
But when it comes down to the logistics of school, where you have to learn how to write, learn how to read, do math problems, study, do research reports, like he gets so annoyed so quick and frustrated when he can't maybe understand something and then just kind of wants to shut down and just give up on it.
It's like his mother.
Or just move on from it. So,
and Croy can't understand why KJ, a.k.a. Croy Jr., loves school, gives it 100%, gives it 100% in PE and 100% in math and gives it 100% every day. Well, that's great. Good for you, KJ. I'm proud of you, son. I am proud you are my son. I am just as proud of you, Cash, that you're my son as well. I understand that you don't like school, and I actually hated it as well. And I totally understand where you're coming from. But Croy, he was like, Croy Jr., he loved school.
Oh, I didn't love school. I had issues with authority, so I liked to challenge authority. So I would argue with teachers a lot on certain things.
Oh,
I was good at school.
Surprise me.
I was really good at school. I got good grades, and I didn't have to study too hard. But yeah, it wasn't like I loved school. I loved football. I loved sports. And so school was rewarded me with being able to play sports where I grew up, you know, like that was extracurricular. So that was what kept me kind of going.
There was nothing that kept me going in school. Not a friend, nothing. The only thing that kept me going was my cigarette outside or in the girls' locker room.
Oh my God.
Okay, that's all I liked was my cigarettes.
So my question a lot of times with Cash though is he using a situation to kind of get him out of school? Maybe mommy come pick me up. Maybe.
Will you not say that out of the three boys, he's the toughest?
Yeah.
No doubt.
Right. So when he calls and I'm like.
Cash is a Leo. If you know anything about astrology, horoscopes, whatever, he's very prideful. He's also very into his looks, and he's just a badass.
Yeah.
And so when the nurse called and said he's crying, right then and there, I was like, That's weird because he wouldn't be crying in front of a nurse or a girl or whatever you want to say. She's a woman, but I mean, he wouldn't be crying in front of the opposite sex. I don't think he'd be crying in front of anyone because he's too prideful.
Yeah.
So that was like my first red flag. Well, he's on the phone with Croy and Croy's like, what happened? He's like, well, I was jumping off the swing and I landed on my arm. And the nurse basically says she thinks it looks fine.
Yeah.
No big deal. It looks okay. Yeah. I said, can I see on FaceTime? Like, I need to see. Like, I need to see. So they call me on FaceTime. I looked at his arm right away, and I knew something was wrong. I said, So Croy, usually I would, like, put the phone on mute and be like, hey, Croy, what do you think? And I'm like, not this time. Cash, we're on our way, babe. See you soon. 5 minutes. And so Croy didn't actually say anything. He got in the car and went and picked him up.
Well, so when I had first picked up, she's like, hey, Mr. Beerman, it's the nurse here, and you know, Cash had a fall on the playground, and I said, okay, what do you think? And she says, I don't think it's too bad. It looks okay to me. And I said, okay, was there any tears? And she said, I think a few. And I said, okay. So then she put him on, and you know, what happened? He said, I jumped off the swing, and I said, well, did you get to finish playing recess? And he says, no, I just kind of sat there. And I said, okay. And then...
big red flag right there.
Then I said... what happened after that? And he said, well, basically recess ended and then I came here to the nurse. So you could kind of tell in his voice, you know, like there are a lot of times where I got so much going on or I'm not quite in tune with a conversation of this nature where I don't listen to the undertone, like the underlying feeling that you feel from somebody communicating to you. And so I could tell that he was being genuine. He wasn't trying to like use a situation to, I said, have you taken all your tests today? Because sometimes they're smart enough, you know, where like, I might get out of a spelling test and not have to do it till the following Monday or something. He said, no. I said, well, do you have anything else for the rest of the day? He said, really, no. They had art and another special or something. And so to me, it was kind of like, well, yeah, like there would be no reason for him not want to be there. And then I could hear and kind of feel. So I was with you on this one.
Mm-hmm. So Croy went and picked him up.
Yeah.
And when he got home, this is really funny. I'm in my office with Ariana and she's like, where's Croy? And I said, oh, he had to go pick up Cash at school. He hurt his arm on the playground today. Mercury's retrograde. And we'll talk about this at another stage. But Mercury retrograde, I mean, like everything's fucked up. Like, you know, like everything just gets, it's just nuts. Like, you know, documentation gets messed up. And if you haven't healed something with your partner, you're probably going to heal during that time. And injuries happen and more car accidents happen. It's just like a 3-week period of hell, I feel like. Yeah. But also can be a blessing. So always during that time, I'm like on high alert. But I said, yeah, I think Cash, you know, hurt his arm, whatever. So Cash comes in my office and it's his right arm. I automatically say, I know, I can see it. I have like a very specific eye for detail. It's a blessing and a curse. And I already saw it. I just knew. And so Croy, I said, Croy, you don't think it's swollen? He's like, yeah, I mean, slightly. So Croy leaves my office and Ariana looks at me and goes, how much you want to bet that he's going to get a tape measure? I said, Ariana, no, he's not. What do you think he walks into my office with 30 seconds later? A tape measure. And he's measuring the difference between his right and his left. And then he says to me, he writes with his right hand, so I expect it to be a little bit larger. I'm like, is this guy for real?
Well, that is true. It will be. It's your dominant hand, so it will be slightly more developed and larger. I mean, nobody's exactly equal. One earlobe is bigger than the other. One eye is bigger than the other. Like, nothing's exactly equal. So if we're talking like 2, 3, 4 centimeters, yeah, we got a problem. You know, half a centimeter, maybe we do, maybe we don't. I was feeling around on it. He's really, really tough. He kind of winced. I had him kind of twist and then
they don't know where it hurts. Like, yeah, they don't know where it hurts. Like they don't know how to like fake an injury.
Right. So yeah. So I don't really tell him what I'm doing. I twist and you see him jump. It's like a natural reaction. He jumped, you know, so I'm like, oh, there is, you know, there's some pain there. And
off to the emergency room they go.
Yep.
So Croy takes them because I have to pick up the other kids in about 45 minutes. And Croy, he's never on his phone. Like, the ringer's never on. He doesn't answer the damn phone. Like, I talked to him on the way there. I'm like, hey. He's like, okay, we're going to get in the room. And I said, call me, you know, as soon as a doctor, you know, lets you know what's going on. So I call him. He's like, okay. You know, he does answer that. He's like, we're going, you know, to get x-rays right now. And then I don't, like, hear from him for, like, 45 minutes. And I'm blowing his phone up. Like, the girls, if I call them right away, they answer. Like, Corey just doesn't even know where his phone is half the time.
Oh, yeah.
So long story short, the doctor says, yeah, definitely there's a bunch of fluid there in the elbow, which is preventing us from basically seeing a fracture. But I can almost guarantee you with how much fluid there is there and the swelling that there is a fracture.
Yeah.
So they put him in a sling.
You got to treat it like it is a fracture.
Right, like it is a fracture. So they put him in a sling, bring him home. And I can already tell that he's stoked. It's his right hand. I don't have to write at school. I don't have to write shit on my Valentine's Day cards in a couple days. Like, life is good. Next morning, we get an appointment first thing, 8:30 in the morning, to get a cast put on. Head over there to the orthopedics, get upstairs. We start doing the cast.
Mind you, yes, it's your child. Yes, you love him. Yes, you don't want him in pain. Yes, you know, like all these things. But I do have to say, it is quite inconvenient these things happen. It totally like disrupts your routine. It's disrupting our work patterns.
I'm not even responding to text messages. Like, this is a whole, to get the first cast on was a good hour and a half. Yeah. Now, did you hear what I said? I said the first cast because we had to get two. It's a lot.
Yeah.
I was gambling online during the appointment while Croy was sitting there with him because all he wants is his dad. He goes through phases of like only wanting Croy, only wanting mommy. It's like, so he wants his dad, which is totally fine by me. They wrap the cast. I'm talking to the nurse. She's actually from Connecticut. We're talking about how good food they have in Connecticut, the best food in New York, and pizza. And anyways, I'm just trying to like pass the time. Cast is on. We're good. We're out the door. We got a waterproof cast.
Yeah.
Much easier. Kaya broke her arm or wrist.
Yeah, her wrist.
At school a year ago. And the nurse called and said, I think it might be okay, but it was definitely broken as well. I guess it just happens at that school. We're all good. You pay a little bit. I think it was like $75 or something to get
the conveniences. The convenience like of a
waterproof.
Though.
Yeah, it's great. Kaya also had a waterproof cast. They can shower with it, all that good stuff. So we go downstairs. I'm like, okay, I have to go pee. And like, I'm really weird about public restrooms, but I'm like, I have to go. So they're like, all right, we're just going to wait here. So I run, go TT real quick. I come back out and like Cash's upper part of his arm, which his upper part of his arm, he has muscles at 8, but I don't know. You can look on my Instagram. He had muscles when he was born. It's like mind blowing. And so he's like itching it. He's like, Dad, it's itching. It's bothering
well,
me.
Well, he said something right here is like pinching me. And they put this little tape strap to let the tech know where to cut it off at. And that was kind of sticking out. So I was maneuvering that. And he was like, I said, how about that? And he said, no, it's like getting me right here. So he was kind of trying to stick his finger down there. And I was like, hold on, let's not do that. You know, because you don't want to mess up the padding. And
he's like, it's burning. I said, you know what?
Yeah.
Corey said, all right, well, let's go back upstairs. So we go back upstairs. And they know us here, by the way. KJ broke his leg at 2. Kaya broke her wrist. And we're back again. Like, they know exactly who we are there. They're like, oh, right. My God, it's another Bierman.
Yeah.
So they bring us back right away, and the guy was asking us questions. He was really sweet. He actually put Kaya's cast on last year. And so I said, you know, I don't know. Like, at this point, just take it off and we can assess it because something's weird. And when they took that cast off, you guys, it was red as shit.
Yeah.
And the tech said, or nurse said, that when kids complain of the burning, the itching's normal and the tightness is normal, but the burning part of the cast or that feeling of burning is definitely alarming. And he had a very bad allergic reaction to the material. He had super, super red in particular where he was complaining of. And then it had like the waffle print of the padding, which they say is normal, but like it's only been on his wrist 10 minutes and it was pretty significant.
Yeah, it was pretty nuts.
So doctor comes in. You know what? We've only had this happen 2 other times. I think he's having an allergic reaction. Corey's like, do you have Benadryl? She said, no. So I was going to go and get some. I didn't end up getting him. Do you have Benadryl cream? No, we're not allowed to give that. Blah, blah, blah. So Corey sticks his arm in the sink. He's washing it with soap and water. Next, about 5 minutes later, it's still bothering him. Corey does it again, like a thorough wash, towel, soap, shit everywhere in the office. And about 5 minutes later, it was pretty good. I get it calmed down.
It 10. 10.
Yeah, it was pretty significant. Now, yeah. I'm allergic to tape adhesive. So I wasn't overly like shocked that Cash would have that kind of reaction because I get more like whitehead pimples, like very painful wherever the tape is. Mm-hmm. this was heading in that direction. So she said, listen, we can put the same waterproof cast on, or we can do the good old cotton, good old trusty old. And I was like, you know what? I'm not even trying to risk it. Like, it's now 11 o'clock. We've been here 3 hours. And let's just put trusty old cotton on and we'll figure it out. He only has to have the cast on for a couple weeks, and then it'll be in a sling and like a arm splint or whatever for a few more weeks, and then we're good. So they wrapped his arm back up again.
I still was trying to figure out, though, like, why... What was the reaction from? The padding on the inside. I mean, she took a good 25 minutes to get his arm padded. I feel like the reaction would have started probably by then if it was the padding.
Well, his arm was sitting in the solution.
That's what I think it was. So then, you know, they have to get that material, that fiberglass casting material wet.
Gore-Tex.
Yeah, or whatever it is. The padding's Gore-Tex, actually.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
But the actual outer casting stuff.
Oh, fiberglass?
Yeah, they get that wet, and then it's got a resin on it that once they get it wet, you know, it's moldable, and then it dries and hardens as a cast. So, but none of that touches the skin. Only the padding touches the skin, so...
Mercury's retrograde. Who the hell knows? Of course he's having an allergic reaction.
Right. But so the only thing that I could think of was that when they were wrapping it, he had to rest his arm at points down on the table where the solution was kind of pooling, mm-hmm. that they wrapped the arm in. And so that was the part that was touching his skin. So it was the resin. So in my mind, I'm like, well, it's not going to matter whether we have waterproof or not. We still have the same casting material.
No, you have cotton on the first layer. It's a Gore-Tex.
Right. But what's most important is that he doesn't sit in that resin solution.
I think it's the Gore-Tex. Gore-Tex versus cotton. Two different things. It's initially wrapped in cotton. The cotton is touching the skin.
Yeah.
And everything else follows.
Yeah.
The Gore-Tex fabric material. I think it was a solution, though. I do think it was a solution.
PA was super sweet. She was super nice. And so we totally moved him off the bed this time. And she just held his arm up. So solution dripped right off onto the floor.
They're the best.
And didn't touch his arm.
I think everybody knows they're up right there off of Old Milton Parkway. Everybody knows.
His Choa's pediatrician, orthopedics.
Yeah.
So, great people.
Yeah. So here's the other thing. So, it's his right hand. I take the cast home, the one that he had the allergic reaction to, because I am... Corey's like, why? Why the hell do you want that?
I'm like, what?
Why? Why do you... I'm like, can you look at the size of your 8-year-old's bicep? Are you fucking kidding me? I've never seen a... It's bigger than my arm by far, and he's 8.
Oh, I mean, I still don't get it. I'm like, any more clutter.
When I say that Cash got it all, I'm telling you he got it all, okay? Including Corey's big, juicy biceps. But I was so flabbergasted, and I'm glad I did, because when he got home, KJ put it on his arm, and his bicep was smaller than Cash's. Well, but it didn't have the Gore-Tex stuff and the stuff in the center. Yeah. But anyways, it's not funny, but Cash... It's his right arm. He has to wear like a uniform to school. And so he has a belt and khaki pants and boxer shorts. And
got a button and zipper and hook.
So Cash, this happened on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
So Wednesday he went to school. And then when he was going to school on Thursday morning, he was like, Dad, I cannot do my pants. I'm like, wait, did you not go to the bathroom yesterday at all? And he was like, no, I don't have to go. I don't have to go. I'm like, Cash.
Yeah, there's no way.
There's no way you can go from 7:30 in the morning till 2:30 or more like 3:30 without going to the bathroom. You're not drinking any water. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
So I said, let's just take your belt off. Nope. Cash, even when they have like dress down day for school and that you can wear your pajamas, Cash will not do it.
No.
He is not festive in any way, shape, or form. Yeah.
He's like, I don't want to look silly.
Yeah,
I'm going to look so silly.
Stupid. Yeah. He's very vain.
I'm like, you're the only one that's not wearing something. So you are going to look silly not wearing something.
In his mind, he's like, I look way better than these idiots in their cow pajamas. Right. So I'm all pressed yesterday about him having to go to the bathroom. So I text his teacher. Thank God I have her cell phone number. I'm sure I drive her nuts. And I'm like, hey, just wanted to know that Cash had expressed some concern about going to the bathroom. If you could just help him. And she's like, I'll send him to the nurse to go to the bathroom. I'm thinking, oh, hell, this kid is definitely going to be beat red in the face and not want to go to the nurse. Right. So then I said, listen, Corey and I are just going to stop in. We had 2 appointments downtown. I said, we'll just stop in and help him go to the bathroom. And so... I don't know, a couple hours later, I text her like, how we doing? She said, you know what? Not too good. Cash usually is my one that goes to the bathroom like 3 or 4 times, you know, in a day. He has yet to go. I've asked him if he has to go and he says no, but I think he probably honestly has to go. So I said, well, we're going to stop in. Do you think that's okay? She's like, please stop in. Okay, so I said about 25 minutes away. I'm downtown right now. So then she texts me and said, Cash, I guess when she probably said, hey, your dad's going to come help you go to the bathroom. He was like, hell to the no, 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 no. And she said, Cash said he's going to try on his own. So here's the thing about his fingers, which I found not funny that Thursday morning, but
interesting.
Croy was like, so use your fingers to hold the belt to, and he's like, it's very, very painful. I talked to Dr. Jeff Malucci, our chiropractor, last night about it. And that bone in particular goes right to your fingers.
Yeah.
And so you can't use your fingers. It's very, very painful.
Tendon and muscles that attach.
So Dr. Malucci was like, yeah, there's just no way he could do that. And I was like, well, that's, So he ended up, I guess, supposedly going to the bathroom on his own, but we didn't end up going there. And
I think what ended up happening is he walked in. He says, well, if I sit in here long enough, then Miss, the teacher's going to know
I went to the bathroom.
Yeah. And if I come out and say, yeah, I'm good, then
my dad's not going to show up and embarrass the shit out of me.
So needless to say, on Monday, I'll be checking in at the school. They have a break, right?
Oh, they're off all week, which is great. You guys, Sunday is obviously Valentine's Day, which Croy and I celebrated, and I'll run through that real quick with you. But we are going to Six Flags, like NASCAR. No, not NASCAR. Hot Wheels. What the hell? Same thing to me.
Yeah.
Hot Wheels, NASCAR, whatever. You get to do this, like, you get to drive through and look at all these cars. So I feel like the kids are so bored and they haven't done anything because of COVID, not as much as we normally would be doing. So this is something we're going to do on Valentine's Day, which is fun. But Corey and I celebrated Valentine's Day last night, which was Thursday night, because menus here in Atlanta, or restaurants in Atlanta, have fixed menus.
Yeah.
And I don't like that shit.
No.
So I love the Melting Pot. Anybody that knows me knows I go to the Melting Pot in Roswell. It's my favorite restaurant. I get the same service, the same quality food, the same Opus One. I just love it. I'm in a little cubicle. So I just love it. So we booked our reservation for last night. It was pouring rain. I had to go to dermatology consultants yesterday morning, get some masks to help with my laser that I had done the week before, and see my girl Taryn. So it was like pouring rain. And I was like, Croy, should we just get like to-go Melting Pot? And so I still was on the fence about like, should we get to-go or not? I was going to wear this Saint Laurent latex skirt, you guys, like sexy to the nines. I was so ready for latex. I'm obsessed with latex right now. I've never worn it out ever in my life, or actually in general. It's still covered in powder, what I have. I've never shined it up. I've never worn it, but it's so hot to me. I was so excited to wear it. And then when I saw the rain, it was like something just kind of not going.
Fizzled it out.
Yeah. My makeup artist, Janelle, she was doing my makeup. She's like, I just love that you... I said, I feel like wearing sweatpants tonight. She's like, I just love that you still get sexy for your husband. I said, did you not hear what the hell I just said? I said, I want to wear sweatpants tonight. She's like, no, you need to get sexy. And I was like, Janelle, I'm not going to wear latex. Like, she's like, no, but maybe like jeans. So I said, you know what? You're right. She's like, you need to go out, get out of the house. The food's not the same. And at that point, I was like, we're going. Went to the Melting Pot. I know everybody there. We have the same waitress always. We ordered 3 orders of their fucking Swiss cheese.
Terrible.
All I eat is pretzel bread, cauliflower, and their Swiss cheese. I just was in heaven. I am in heaven there. And we had a great time. We did a couple shots. We just had a great time. And came home. Croy got a little wild and we were asleep.
No. Not Croy. Kim.
No. No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Actually,
okay, go ahead.
You want to be honest?
Yeah, go.
I said, babe, I'm really tired. Like,
I was in my office on the computer gambling. I said,
let's go lay down. And she's like, okay, you know, real quick.
I'm doing great on the computer. Yeah. I'm doing great on my spins.
Oh my God.
And I don't want to stop because I'm doing so well. And he's like, Debbie Downer, I want to go to bed. But it's like 1 o'clock. You know, we get up at 6:30 every day to take the kids to school and get them ready and blow dry their hair and do all that good stuff.
So I'm like, okay. So another 20 minutes goes by and I'm like, all right, I'm going to go brush my teeth. I'll see you back there. She's like, okay, I'll see you back there, babe. Brush my teeth.
We go to bed together. We get up together, you guys. We shit together. We eat together. We do everything together. So for him to like go back there, the only time I really do that is if he's playing Fortnite and I've had enough. And I basically feel like he's at a point where he thinks I'm playing Fortnite and he's had enough. So that's fine. I understand. Go back, brush your teeth, do whatever the hell, wash your balls, and then I'll meet you in the bed.
Yeah. So I do all those things. And
I'm still on the computer.
Get everything set, lights off. I'm like, all right, well, she's got to be coming soon. But I'm not going in there to check because I'll get stuck sitting there for another 30 minutes. So I'm like, I'm just going to lay down and she'll be in any minute.
I don't know. Ladies, I know that you are with me when the men, hubby, my husband goes to sleep in 30 seconds. I can't sleep for shit. He goes to sleep in 30 seconds, snoring, not a care in the world. It actually irritates the shit out of me sometimes. Like, how are you asleep already? So I go in, I brush my teeth, and I get in the bed.
No, she comes in, and all of a sudden, there's like this light in my face, and I'm like, wait, where was I? What was I doing? And I had dozed off, like literally, I thought she had been in the office for an hour or more, but she hadn't, maybe like 7 minutes.
Yeah, because like I said, he goes to sleep in 30 seconds.
Yeah, literally like 7 minutes probably from when I laid down to when she came back there, and I had already like started to doze. I was in that in-between sleep, you know, but then all of a sudden there's this light in my face, and I'm like, she's like, what are you doing? And I was like, I don't know, I'm sleeping, I guess.
So I take progesterone. I'm on like hormone therapy since my stroke or whatever, like low doses. And so I take estrogen in the morning and progesterone at night. And so progesterone, you know, they say like you shouldn't take it and like have relations because you can't have an orgasm.
How about, you know,
what the fuck,
freaky,
you want?
We're having, you know,
relations. What do you want me to say? Fuck, make love,
sex,
whatever. Yeah. So Croy's, it's a running joke between Croy and I, because I'll be brushing my teeth or whatever, and it's like a little, it's compounded specifically for me, so it's like a little, it melts in my mouth.
Yeah.
And so he'll look over me sometimes, he's like, you sucking on your fucking medicine? Because he knows it's not happening, basically, is my point. So I'd already taken
like,
my...
Yep. I am.
Yeah, because especially
it's not stopping me.
Yeah. Well, it's not gonna... No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. So I took my medicine. I brushed my teeth. I'm getting in the bed. I'm like, babe. And I said, oh, give me a kiss, honey. Our date night was so fun, whatever. This fucking guy, like.
You wanted a kiss. I gave you a kiss.
Yeah, but like that. Why can't I give you a kiss and that's it? Go to sleep.
That's not my fault. What
it
my
is.
Kiss does to your body is not my fault.
Oh, so you're blaming. You're blaming it on me last night?
Yeah, my energy is like, woof, you know?
Uh-huh,
and
yeah.
When I give you that kiss, uh-huh. It's like...
No,
it's
my energy is a woof.
It's a whole nother feeling that just takes over
well,
that body.
Needless to say...
But that's not my fault.
My progesterone doesn't even affect me in the least bit. And so, whatever. Now it's another 30 minutes we're dicking around and we're up. And so we barely got any sleep. We went back to sleep this morning for 2.5 hours, which was actually really great. But so... Anyways, today I gave Croy the new Xbox. I didn't know Santa brought our sons an Xbox for Christmas. I didn't know that Croy was playing on an Xbox One.
Yeah.
And so he's like always dying. And I'm like, KJ, what the hell's wrong with your dad?
He's like, he sucks.
Why is he dying all the time? So then Croy like casually mentions that he's playing on like an old Xbox, basically. And I'm like, why would you not buy a fucking new one? Because Croy's just not going to do that for himself. And so, of course, I bought one for him and it was here. So I had him open it last night because I wanted him to have it all set up today so that when the kids came home from school, he could actually like do something with them today. So that was, I was like, babe, open your gift. So he did. And then today I opened mine. Well, so I'm in my office and I'm working and I have all this stuff going on. I have such exciting news to share with you guys in the next couple weeks. And so I've been really working hard on it and I'm doing that and I'm trying to figure shit out. And Brielle and Ariana are like, go mom, go to the kitchen. I'm like, I'm not going to the fucking kitchen. First of all, I woke up to the most gorgeous flowers you've ever seen in your life today. A huge heart, flowers on my piano, which I get flowers every 2 weeks from my husband. And this flower, this big heart it was just breathtaking. I didn't even see it when I walked out to the kitchen to get my coffee in the morning. And then on the way back, I saw it, which was really thoughtful and sweet. And so my girls are like really pushing me to go and open my quote unquote present. And I'm like, what are you talking about? So I walk out and on the piano is like, I don't know, 10 gifts. And I'm like, what the hell? And these Brielle, Zach and Ariana line up on the stairs to watch me open my gifts. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be fun.
It's a fucking audience.
So then Croy says, you have to open this one first. Everything's wrapped so beautifully, but you have to open this one first. And so it's a like black octagon shaped present. So I open it and it says, you make me. And then when you open it, the first layer out falls maybe 6 photos, right? Mm-hmm. And then inside or behind
the walls fall out. It's like an exploding box.
Right.
So the walls just fall out.
So it's these amazing pictures of Croy and I throughout the years. And then behind each picture is a handwritten like card from him. And on the lid is a handwritten card. I'm crying. I'm already crying. I'm already like, I'm a mess. And I love thoughtful gifts. And I love like I've never seen anything like this in my whole life. So it's layer by layer by layer. I can't even keep my shit together. Like, I'm so grateful for you, my love. I love you very much. And it was very thoughtful. And I'm crying. My massage therapist, who's been with me like 12 years or whatever, Anne walks in. She's like, oh, hell. My assistant walks around the corner. I saw her and she's probably like, oh, hell. Tracy's like, I love this. This is amazing. Oh, my God. And I'm like, Tracy, shut up. Like, so everybody's kind of watching, but it's the coolest gift I think I've ever received. The most thoughtful, and I said, where's the pen you wrote this shit with? Because it's like black paper done with this really beautiful gold, like, ink or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's in my office. But it was pictures like of when we found out, well, we took that little test that you buy at like Target if you're going to have a boy or a girl, and the water's like green if it's a boy, and it's, I don't remember what the hell, orange if it's a girl.
Yeah.
And I was hoping for a girl with cash in essence, but didn't really care because I was also hoping for a brother and it was green. So it was like a picture of we're having another boy. I don't know how effective that shit is, but just all these really cool pictures throughout the years. Like, I can't believe this is our 10th Valentine's Day together. And people are like, no, it's not. It's your 11th. I met Croy in 2010, May of 2010. This is our 10th Valentine's Day together.
Yep.
So, as crazy as that sounds, but do the math. Anyways, there were so many other sage and just all these amazing. I love to listen to Audible, like I told you guys, at night when I go to bed sometimes, when Croy's snoring and I can't listen to it. I put my fucking earphones in. And so he got me this eye mask that's Bluetooth so I don't have to have these earphones in my ears driving me nuts. I don't know. Just my husband's amazing. And I'm really glad that we still love each other like we do after 10 years. And my greatest gift is Croy, aside from our children, like my greatest gift. And that's kind of what I realized, like opening, of course, as I cry, but opening the box was like, what else fucking matters? Like at the end of the day, like what else matters? Like money, great. Health is really important, but like I'm filled. I have my kids on the stairs. I have our crazy ass chef who I love to death. I have my massage therapist that's been with us, like I said, 12 years, ride or die. Everybody's kind of in the foyer watching me open this present. It was like, I am surrounded by so much love.
Yeah.
Nothing. There's nothing in the world that could ever buy that. It just is what it is. So I'm feeling super grateful. As always, I know my husband's a rock star, as all of you bitches know too. But yeah, just super grateful and thankful. And so we'll see. Sunday, I think we're going to cook breakfast and then take the kids to like
More thing coming that I will let you guys know.
Well, Croy's been shady, by the way. He keeps saying like, I'm working on something. And I'm like, what the fuck is he doing? Like, where are you? He's like, I'm downstairs. You're not allowed down here. I'm like, what are you doing? And like, if we're not together, it's weird.
Yeah.
And so I'm always like, and because he doesn't answer his phone, like I told you guys earlier, it's always a problem. Like, where's Croy? So I have to tell Nikki today, hey, when you see Croy, like it's a shit show. But anyways.
But so she's asked for it for quite some time. I'm going to deliver on it. I'm thinking Saturday night probably is maybe Sunday morning when I'm completely finished with it. We got one more thing coming. But the box took me quite a bit of time. And so I wanted to give you all that
stuff. I wish I could read each and every one of the cards to you guys because it just is like... So there was multiple layers to this octagon box. So these six, say, pictures that he put, like, fold out, and then behind them is a handwritten note. Then you go to the next layer, and, you know, six more pictures or five more pictures fall out, and there's, like, and the lids were, I mean, it was just, like, I don't know, the coolest gift ever. I think sometimes when I get a gift like this, I've had some very thoughtful gifts throughout the years from Croy that like our kids can look at I just think of leaving like a legacy. Like I want our kids to look at stuff. I want our boys to also treat women like their dad treats me, which KJ was standing there and Cash is like, Mom. And so Cash actually in the middle of all this, Cash loves to give gifts. And if Cash could give everybody a Rolex or a Ferrari, he would. And he's like, Mom, I'm getting Dad a gift. And you guys would not even believe what he picked out for his father. It's mind-blowing. And then he goes to Brielle to help because he found this other gift for me. He does this all on his own. He is the best gift giver, but it was like Cash was like, Mom, and I said, your daddy's the best. He said, I know. And so it really sets an awesome example too for our boys and just our kids in general. And so my girls, I mean, that's why Brielle's single. She's like, fuck, like what am I supposed to do after seeing all this shit over the years, you know? Trying to find like a somebody like Croy is not easy, or somebody that treats, you know, her like Croy does me isn't always easy, but they're out there. That's what I tell Brielle every day. They're out there, baby girl, trust me. Don't stop believing.
Universe will help you collide paths.
All right, you guys, next up, Brielle's coming. Are you ready? Because it's back to Ethan.
Yep, she's back. Guys, we're going to bring on Brielle here in just a minute. She's going to tell us all about her wild weekend in Miami for the Super Bowl.
That she booked in 2 hours and took off.
Yep, and she ran into one of the most well-known, famous rappers in the world right now.
It was in his section and hanging out, and he's like, what's up, Brielle?
Yep, and knew who she was.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
what's poppin'?
First of all, Brielle decides, like I said, Friday night.
Yeah, I'm just going to start there. We are at Stony River, Colin, Zach, and I, and we are about two drinks deep, and Ethan's with our friends who live in Miami, and he's sending us Snapchats and videos and FaceTiming us, and we're so jealous.
Doesn't take much to convince these guys.
Yeah, we're so jealous.
FOMO.
Like 10 o'clock at night, and he's like, he texts me and my mom in a group chat, and he says, Kim, get Brielle's ass down to Miami. So I just call my mom, and I'm like, hey, just so you know, I'm booking a flight to Miami tomorrow morning at 8 a.m.
8 a.m.
I'll be back Monday at noon. 10 a.m. flight out of Miami. She's like, okay, sweetie, have fun. Toodles. So we all book a flight. We get home. We're a couple drinks in. I pack my suitcase. I don't even know what I put in it when I woke up. I had to wake up at 5:30.
You drunk packed?
Yeah, drunk packed at 11:30, 12 o'clock.
Brielle's not like, I start packing like 3 days before. I have everything organized, everything ready to go. Brielle, the flight's leaving in 2 hours. Takes 45 minutes to get there. Brielle's still throwing her underwear in her
sober,
bag.
Sober Brielle has a struggle packing. I can't imagine drunk Brielle.
Yeah, you're right. I should probably start packing for the Bahamas now.
Yeah, you should. Like, don't you want to have your cover-ups, your bathing suits?
I have it all, always. I just have it all last minute.
And everywhere. No, but it's wrinkled. It's like, come on.
Well, they have steamers at hotels.
Okay, just go. That's how she lives.
So we literally get 2 hours of sleep, go to the airport. We land in Miami. Where I'm like, Ethan, we're here. I will meet you at the hotel at 12, knowing that we will probably get to the hotel at 11. Let us have some time check in. Right when we pull up, this crazy ass is just sitting there swinging like a belt or something.
Didn't he
air,
have his shirt
drink.
Off?
Oh, yeah, his shirt. He's swinging his drink or his shirt in the air. He's got four drinks ready for us. He said that he spent.
Wait, this is Ethan, the same guy that fucking ruined my Christmas tree.
Yeah, this is Ethan. You guys will be hearing a lot about Ethan. We'll
bring him on
for days. Yeah, he's a handful, but he's a fun handful. The thing about Ethan is he has no problem making an ass out of himself as long as everybody else is having a good time. He really doesn't care.
Right.
Well, so he's there. He's got these four drinks and
I don't think I've ever seen him sober except, well, I think he was still drunk when he was ripping the Christmas tree apart.
Yeah.
From the night before.
He might have been.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so we go in, we check in, we change our clothes. We go downstairs. We're sitting at the bar. That just opened, by the way, because it's like 11:15. I think they opened at 11:30 and they gave us all espresso martinis early because they knew we'd been up since 5.
Oh, my God.
And Ethan's just saying, hey, can I take you home tonight to any girl that walks by? Or he's like, what will it take?
Ethan gets more women than any other man I have ever in my life been around or known.
Yep, me too.
Well, I mean, if that's all it takes, I guess you just got to ask, huh?
He was asking anybody. Cute. Not
I mean,
so
remember
cute.
This, Ethan, or I didn't get into the story about Vegas for our anniversary, but Ethan came to Vegas for our anniversary. It was Brielle, Zach, Ethan, right? Did Zach come? No, Danny. Zach didn't come. Danny. So Ethan then, I think, had a couple different girls on the 4 days that we were there.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, he's found the golden trick, I guess. All I got to do is ask.
Well, I think it's maybe
it'd be okay
it's,
to hear
his,
a no.
His line is hook up with me or die.
What?
Yeah, he's like, fuck me or die. It's his saying. It's his saying. That's what he texts them. Because he thinks it's funny. And when he says it to us, like out loud, we die laughing every time.
What does he do when he's at the blackjack table gambling?
Just so you know, he had three different women show up at his house on Saturday night. When we were at Waffle House, he said that he had one in his bed already and one was on the way. And he had to make her sleep on the couch. And he said that was his cousin in the room asleep and throwing up. So he had to take care of her. So he left the one girl on the couch.
This?
Had the one girl that was already in his bed stay in his bed, and the third just kind of, I guess, showed up.
Oh.
So, but what happens like in the morning, or like when the one comes out of the room and she's like, "I'm not his cousin."
I don't think they're talking. Yeah, probably. He's probably shuffling her out the door. Like, come on, come on, come on, come on.
Yeah, I don't know how the rest of that goes. We'll have to ask Ethan, but that's just what he told me. Anyways,
no way.
So we're down there, we're drinking, whatever. It's pouring rain in Miami for like the first 3 hours we're there. Then Ethan has like 10 dudes show up from Atlanta. They're all from Atlanta.
What the fuck?
They're there for a wedding
trip.
No, it's for these are just his friends. Okay. He knew one of them.
Why is Ethan there anyway? He's the most spontaneous person.
Yeah. No, he goes, that's what he says to me. He says, I thought you were spontaneous. You're not. I have a flight booked. You don't. So he entices me. I'm like, shut up.
He is very spontaneous. Jeez. Decides last minute. He's very successful. You know, Monday through Friday, very responsible. Up at the gym at 5:30.
He says it's a school night. Can't drink on school nights.
he's very responsible. Like I said, very successful.
And then he just loses it. He goes from zero to 150.
Yes.
And with the snap of a finger.
Mm-hmm. He was blowing my phone up Saturday night at 4 a.m. And I didn't know that Brielle and Ethan were together. And Corey's like, that's weird. And they called me the night before too, but I think you guys were on FaceTime or something. Yeah. And so they were calling me together at like 2 a.m. And Croy's like, what the fuck is, why is this kid calling you in the middle of the night? But I guess he was with Brielle, which is, I mean,
yeah.
You two together are reckless as shit, to be honest. So go ahead. What does Ethan do when he wins? Or like, remember he was making this noise. He does like, woo, or like, what is his?
Every time he takes a shot, he goes, yo, but he like yells it.
He yells
like
it.
When he wins. He like makes a scene. He wants everybody to know that he's winning or chugging.
You can hear him in Caesars at the craps table, and he's all the way over at a blackjack table. You can hear him win or lose.
I'm just saying, whenever his birthday comes around, I've got videos for days. Okay, to post.
Okay, so keep going. It's pouring rain. You guys are drinking.
We're drinking. We go outside, and then from, I don't know, like 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock was kind of a blur for me and Colin.
Oh, that's right. I was on Facebook. Okay, so I'm like, hey, Zach. Zach answers Brielle's phone. I call Colin. He doesn't answer. Blur. I'm sorry. He answers his own phone. I call Brielle. She doesn't answer, which stresses me out because I know she's been drinking since the day before. Colin doesn't answer. I call Zach. He's like, hey, what's up? I'm like, what are you doing, buddy? Like, what the fuck? I'm calling their phone. They're not answering. He's like, well.
We were asleep.
And he kind of pans the phone over to the double beds.
You show up at 11 and
you're asleep by 5.
You're drinking by 12 and you're blurried.
No, I was drinking by the 8 a.m. flight. Once I got I got a Chardonnay.
Oh.
I had to get the day going.
So he shows me and they're all face down in the bed.
Ethan's naked,
as always.
In the bed. To us.
Zach is like flicking his ear and shit and he's not even moving.
No.
Okay, so they're all out. I'm like, oh my God, they have dinner reservations.
At nine.
Why would you even make a reservation? I mean, our
Miami friends made it. We didn't think that we were going to be down like that. I didn't think that we'd be asleep. Colin and I shared a Five Guys burger on the floor because we missed dinner. We were so hungry. Zach walked to Five Guys. Anyways, we end up showing up to Komodo at 11:30. Oh, I forgot that I had a makeup artist show up in Miami. She shows up at 6 o'clock and I'm like, oh, sorry. My phone like wasn't working downstairs or something. I don't know what excuse I told her because she was in the lobby for 15 minutes and that pissed me off that I forgot about her. So I was like, hey, sorry. Something happened. I go upstairs and I just like go to wash my face and I'm like, okay, I don't feel well. I think I need to go to bed. I'm exhausted. I'm like way too drunk. I need some water. And she grabs me some Oreos. She just had a baby a month ago. She drove an hour and a half. I'm like,
oh, so she's in your room.
Yeah.
I didn't think she came to your room.
No, she did. And I was like, look, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm so exhausted. Like I can't even see straight right now. So I think I just need to take a nap. I'm still going to pay you for today, but I need to go to bed.
Yeah.
And I'll do my makeup later. Like, it's fine. I think I'm just going to stay in tonight. And she was like, oh, I totally get it. You know, I'm a new mom. I get it. Whatever. I'm like, okay, thanks. See you later. So that happened. But so anyways, we go to Komodo. Then we hit the club after. We go to Komodo. It's the end of dinner. All my friends have already had dinner. There's 15 people there. No, maybe there's like 8 people there. I think you can only have like 10 people at a table or something there. There's like 8 people there. Everybody's already had dinner. We show up at the last second. They've just got a bunch of shots ready for us in Red Bull. And I'm like, well, if we're going to just keep the night rolling.
What the hell? To be 20.
Well, do you understand that there is something called alcohol poisoning, right?
Like, no,
you
can't drink too.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't take Brielle much.
Well, no, she does. I don't think she's ever been poisoned. I don't know.
Well,
if she's ever
fucking, I hope not.
No, because what's good about her? I mean, I had it in college.
Well, because you're not the sharpest tool in the shed when it comes to drinking. You just pound and pound and pound. Like, I know my limits. So does
now.
She.
I'm not saying I don't know my limits. Sometimes you want to go past your limits. Sometimes it's fun.
Why?
To go.
I don't like that feeling.
Well, we know you don't, but what's funny
do
about Brielle?
I don't think you like that feeling.
Well, I don't
she gets there quite often.
Yeah. But it happens.
God have mercy on my soul.
Well, because you're like, for me, I don't feel it right away. I'm like, if I don't feel it, like, just keep chugging. Like,
well, but so you go, you,
good
yeah.
God.
Brielle goes from like zero to 100, but not with two, like, off of like 6 drinks.
Yeah.
So
I don't do drinks is my problem. I only do shots because I don't like mixed drinks and I don't like all the bullshit
sugar,
calories.
Yeah.
So I just throw back tequila shot and cranberry. That was my drink of choice.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
But at
two.
This point, you should know that, like, okay, I know that. Even if I'm not feeling it, 6 will get me to a point of feeling nice.
No, what's nuts about me is I can have 2 and be done for the night, or I can have 20 and I'm still fine. Like, it's just really weird. I don't know. I haven't figured out why yet.
Well, let's keep like count. Like, if you need to put it in your notes in your phone, like check mark one shot of tequila.
I just
check
base
mark
it off my feeling. Like, I know when I like they'll hand me one and I'll be like, give me 20 minutes. Like, give me an hour. Like, I'll be like, I can't have another drink for a
second. Food affects the way you feel. Just we'll have a conversation later today.
I didn't eat at all.
I'm just saying,
Miami
maybe
either.
6 shots doesn't affect you when you've had food.
No, I know.
You may be ripped after.
It's not that. Oh. I'm telling you. We haven't figured it out yet.
All right. So you're at the club all night.
We're at the club all night. Now that I think about it, I can't remember how we got home or when. But anyway, so we end up home. And
wait, you went to the club?
Yeah, we went to the club. We
had didn't you see
like 7 a.m.?
That was the next night.
Oh, the next night. Okay.
7 a.m., 5 a.m.?
No.
When we're walking in?
I got home like a more reasonable time, like 4.
Okay.
Okay.
Or something. I don't know. I'll have to go through my Snapchat.
And it was, and then just everybody was resting. We were good that night.
Yeah, we all showered. We went to bed.
Good. No, too much drama, nothing.
No, we just went to bed.
Everybody was in the same room?
Ethan was at his hotel. He was staying at a hostel. It was $68 for 3 nights.
So Ethan's in his, he's in his hotel that's $68 for 3 nights. I said, Ethan, show me the bed. He's like, hell no.
He said, no, ma'am.
No, ma'am. I said, Ethan, come on, show me the bed. I just want to see what it looks like. He's like, no, ma'am.
I Googled the photos.
There's not even a mirror in the hotel room.
Oh, wait, that's another thing I forgot. On our way to dinner, which we're already 2 hours late to, I said I'd be there at 11. Didn't get there till 11:30 because we had to take Ethan down to South Beach to the Starlight Hotel. And the roads were blocked, so the Uber had to drop him off, and he had to run half a mile to go to his hotel. He had to shower and change and then run half a mile back. Took forever. He's like, give me 2 minutes up there. I'm like, well, 2 minutes on top of 10 minutes of running and 10 minutes back. We don't get to the Komodo until 11:30.
Komodo's anyways, like one of the hottest places, right?
Yeah. Like, any place that Dave Grumman owns is like lit. He's like the Miami man.
Yeah.
Sure.
So Sunday, we go to the beach, just me, Colin, and Zach. Ethan's at the beach, like at his hotel. And I'm like, I'm not going down to the Starlight Hostel Motel Beach. I'm going to stay at my hotel and stay at my beach. So we are kind of feeling the wrath of it. Murda, my friend Murda, who I met through Food God, Jonathan Chabon or Shebin.
Whatever.
Anyways.
Jonathan C.
Yeah. I met this guy, Murda Murphy, from Food God a couple years ago, actually in Vegas for both of our birthdays. We had like the same birthday or something. So I've just kept in touch with Murda, and Murda is 6ix9ine's manager, and like I think he's like a bodyguard or I don't know. He does a lot of shit.
Oh, I didn't know he was 6ix9ine's manager.
Yeah, but he's been like a friend.
The guy
of ours
with the blonde
years.
Hair.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've been friends with him for years, so like we just talk to him like all the time. So
well, then why were you so?
Well, no. So he FaceTimes me all the time with 6ix9ine. So like I know, I mean, I can't say like I know 6ix9ine like personally, but like we've FaceTime like, I don't know, 10 times and we have conversations. So anyways, well, hold on, let me get there. So we're sitting at the beach and we're trying to figure out a plan. So we have this friend and he like owns this gambling casino website or whatever. And so we're like, he throws like these like parties or whatever, and he gets these sections and like all this shit. So I'm asking him, what's our plan for the night? What are we doing? And he's like, oh, we're going to this Nelk Boy, which these Nelk Boys are like this
Nelk or Milk?
N-E-L-K.
Nelk Boys.
Okay.
They're like the craze. All every boy, every frat boy, every high school boy, all these girls, they all watch their videos because they do crazy shit.
On YouTube?
Yeah.
Oh, they have a YouTube channel.
Yeah, okay. They're huge. So this guy, Steve, who I hung out with last time I was in Miami in December, he was having like a small get together in his hotel. He just landed, just got off the flight. He's like, come on over to my hotel. We'll watch it there and then we'll go from there.
Right.
His name's Steve Will Do It on Instagram. He is crazy. He actually posted a video of our night out with 6ix9ine if you guys want to go check it out.
Where would they find that, sweetie?
On Steve Will Do It's Instagram. I sent you the
Steve
video last
Steve Will Do
night.
It. So he basically just does anything.
Oh, yes. He chugged a whole bottle of 1942 with 6ix9ine. Just chugged, took the cap off, took the seal off, chugged a whole bottle.
I don't like
he's
that
nuts.
Shit, honestly. I
he's crazy.
Patron.
Well, he's really nice.
You need to understand that there are like levels where we can die. Like we can die. Well, like Steve will not be doing anything if you're dead.
Well, anyways, we get to the hotel and Murda's calling us with 6ix9ine. So 6ix9ine's like, Brielle, like where are you at? Like come see me. And he's like an hour away and like Fort Lauderdale or somewhere. I don't know where they're at, but they're not in Miami. And I'm like, we're not coming there. They're at some ratchet bar. I'm like, I'm not coming there. Y'all come to Miami. Like, this is where everything's popping anyways. So towards the end of the Super Bowl, they're like, all right, we're going to be there in a sec. And I'm like, what do you mean in a sec? Like, y'all are an hour away. They're like, no, we're pulling up. We go downstairs, me, Steve, and Murda go downstairs to grab him. As he's pulling up, he's with like seven cars,
sure,
all blacked out. He's sure. Got like maybe 15 security guards.
Right. His because girlfriend. He was in trouble prior to him today, right?
Yes. He's in 6ix9ine's just whatever. He's going through it. Everybody knows in 6ix9ine's drama.
Wasn't he just in prison?
Yeah, he just got out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jesus. How long ago? Like a year ago?
Like a year ago, yeah.
Jesus, take the wheel.
And he's still on the run.
I don't think he's on the
run. On the run?
Okay, so
hell no, he's not on the run.
I have a theory that maybe the beef isn't as strong as everybody thinks.
Okay.
Because we were in a club where shit could go down and nothing really happened. Nobody cared.
Well, because nobody there is against him, right? Isn't there like a specific group against him or something?
I don't know. See, and last night there was a video posted of him and Meek Mill running into each other, and apparently him and Meek Mill have beef and nothing happened. So like,
what do you want to happen?
Nothing.
Or what should happen?
I don't want anything to happen.
Like fist fights?
Me, no, they have guns and shit. Like,
oh, like you want like true on shootout? Like, then they're going back to prison. No, I know. Of course you don't.
But I say like, I'm thinking.
You're being so dramatic.
I'm thinking like, I'm just surprised that like they just sit there and they talk to each other and then they walk off. Like, come on. Like, okay. If you guys are really beefing, like street beef, like that's not happening.
Right.
So whatever. It's just, I just have this theory. Like, it's not as strong as everybody thinks. Okay. It's just like maybe for clout. I don't know. I really like 6ix9ine, so I don't want to get on his toes. Anyways. So he pulls up. We go up to the room. We take a couple shots and then we're like, let's go to some ratchet strip club. I think it was called Exchange or something.
Exchange. Oh, wow.
So they leave first.
Wow.
That's already starting off wrong. Yeah. What are we exchanging here?
So duh. We leave first. It's me, Zach, Ethan, Colin, Steve, his girlfriend, and then our gambling friend in the car with us. So we pull up to Exchange and Murda calls us and he's like, we're not going to Exchange. We're going to go hang out at Komodo. And I'm like, all right. Are you okay? So we have to reroute. We got dropped off. So we order an Uber. It's like 5 minutes away. And I see some guy outside of Exchange on FaceTime with 6ix9ine saying, come on, man, you want to come here? And so I call Murda and I'm like, are you sure you're going to Komodo? Because this guy says he's on the phone with 6ix9ine. I can literally see him. He's right next to me. And 6ix9ine says he's coming. He's like, no, we're going to Komodo. So we all meet in the parking deck. They had to wait on us because they actually got there before us.
Okay.
We meet in the parking deck and we go through the kitchen. And as we're going through the kitchen, one of our friends grabs like the Red Bull that's like on the shelf because he's like, oh, we're going to need this Red Bull anyways.
Oh,
and the guy in the kitchen was yelling at him. I'm like, sure. Great job, dumbass.
Yeah.
But so we get to the club and we're all like in the section spread out, all hanging out, just talking. I go talk to 6ix9ine's girlfriend. Her name's Rachel. She's really nice. Well, I took shots with her at the hotel. And then we were talking in the section and then they were just being chill. Like there was nothing crazy. The DJ just kept playing 6ix9ine songs. There was no.
Was he singing? Was he doing anything? Was he rapping?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Well, he wasn't like on the freestyle, mic.
He wasn't freestyling.
No, it's too loud. Too loud.
Too loud to freestyle.
So, anyways, there wasn't really anybody in there. Like for real, it was very small compared to how like packed places usually are.
So looked
pretty packed to me. Looked pretty packed to me.
Memories or anything like that,
Brielle? In the section, it looked pretty packed to me. Are we talking about the same place?
It was packed in our section, but to the right of us, which we're in a corner, like you can't like pass the DJ booth, you can't get over there unless you're part of the section. Over everywhere else, it's not, there's really nobody.
So does he live there in Miami?
I think he moved to Florida, or his girlfriend was saying they're back and forth between New York and Florida. I don't know.
Oh, he's from New York.
Yeah, he's from New York.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's really how I ended up with 6ix9ine. Oh, I forgot to share that Ethan, when I woke up.
Oh, God.
We always want to hear about Ethan. Okay. Yeah. So let's always remember to think about Ethan and tell us the stories because I am on the floor laughing.
Was Ethan hanging out with
6ix9ine? I actually got.
Oh, yeah. I had to tell. No, no. So
did
it's funny.
Did Ethan teach him his language? Ethan has his own language. Do we know that? He speaks in, what's he say?
Swahilian. That's what he says.
No, he speaks.
He doesn't finish any word. So he'll say ka instead of can. Okay. So you just got to like listen. And try to piece it together.
And he talks fast. He always says, I talk in cursive.
There we go. That's what he says. I talk in cursive.
He talks so fast. Oh, we're going to bring him. Brielle, you should just call him up and see what he's doing. You think he'd answer at this hour?
No.
Yeah, I do. He would answer right away.
Okay, call. So he was hanging out with 6ix9ine, but you forgot.
So I had to tell Ethan to calm down. Like, I'm like, yo, it's 6ix9ine. Like, he doesn't like this crazy shit. Just keep it on the low. Like, keep right. it on a normal level, right? Right.
I'm calling Ethan.
So I would do this with my hands. I would lower my hands and raise them, and I'd be like, calm down.
What's popping, Ethan?
Oh, shit. Let me stand the fuck outside.
I'm on FaceTime, you guys, so I showed him the mic, okay?
Brielle, I'm not getting on no goddamn show.
Now listen, Ethan, we are talking about your Miami trip with Brielle. She's here. Say hi, Brielle.
Hi. So we're talking about how we're hanging out with 6ix9ine and how I had to tell you.
We're actually talking about how you talk in cursive, and it's very hard sometimes to understand. You just have to kind of piece the words together.
No, everything just rumbles together. My mouth talks faster than my brain thinks sometimes.
Ethan's sober, you guys. It was a school night last night. He's doing great this morning.
So, Ethan, just give me a quick little rundown. How was your Miami trip?
Do you remember?
Like a motherfucking blur.
So after the club was 6ix9ine, we go back to my friend's house and Ethan leaves us. Ethan, tell us where you go from there.
Oh God.
What kind of audience do we have?
keep it slightly R-rated.
I ended up in the Uber with a girl on the way home. Or no, on the way to Gold Rush. Shit, I was on the way to Gold Rush. Her tits stuck out further than her nose, and she had a big nose.
How'd you meet her?
I think I just told her I was the one buying the bottles, even though I had zero money in my hand, and I seemed to use that line all night.
Wait, you guys, Ethan called me on his flight to Miami with a fan, and she was leaving me voice messages, and I think they left the airport together.
Oh, yeah, they did.
You have to understand, I'm running on credit. My debit card is basically locked. So, yeah, anything I'm like, $5, much less $20, I'm riding with anybody. So, yeah, she was a 43-year-old married lady. The plan was to steal her wedding ring, but it didn't work out.
You guys, Ethan also is the same person that says he steals flowers from the cemetery to give to girls because it's cheaper that way.
Okay, and we're gonna clear the air right now. None of this is legitimate. He's not trying to steal her wedding ring.
He's not trying.
Nor does he steal flowers.
He's just funny.
He might steal the flowers. I don't know about that one.
Not during the winter. They're fake this time of year.
Oh man.
So, okay, so go ahead with Miami. So he's with a girl in the car. He goes to his hotel.
Nope, they go to a strip club, and he's.
Well, I told the girl all night I had a suite. Goodwill, I had a fucking boutique hostel. The only reason I had a single room just because I told them I had a fever, and they gave me a room. So we get back to the what we call suite, and. Obviously, she's curious, and I don't remember how I talked my way out of that one. Ended up, she kicked me out of my own room because she said I was disrespectful, and then I had to get her an Uber home. And then
Ethan ended up riding home with...
Hold on. This is what happened. We went to my suite. She said, fuck no, we're not staying here. So we went to her place halfway across town. Somehow I got kicked out, and then my phone's dead, and I'm walking home 8 a.m. And I could not get a ride. I was trying to stop traffic with a thumb. Thumb wasn't working. I hopped out in front of a red light. I stopped the next guy coming into town. It was a 19-year-old kid on his way to his college class. And the 19-year-old kid gave me a ride to home.
He DM'd Ethan and he said, hope you got home safe, buddy.
Oh my God.
I DM'd him and told him thank you because he was too busy revving his fucking 5-speed Corolla at every red light to listen to me. And I didn't even tell him thank you. Then he said, but yeah, the kid gave me a ride home and he was late for class, but he was 19-year-old and scared as shit.
I'm sure. Yeah,
I jumped out and stopped him. I said, look, you're taking me home. I was miserable. I was fucking wet, cold, haven't slept. And that was last resort.
You strong-armed him.
Wait, did
Corolla.
He like just jump in the car?
Probably.
Dude, he literally showed us how he did it. He stopped in fucking traffic and said stop and got in the fucking
car. Oh my God, the guy probably thought you were going to shoot him.
I said, window down.
No.
And then I go to his page, and I show Brill on his page. I think he was, honestly, he probably just come on to me.
Okay, so I got video of Ethan naked from behind from Zach.
Walking into
Brielle's hotel room. When was that?
Okay.
He doesn't remember.
Well, it had to be one of the nights because they were only there two, so I'm assuming it's the other one.
It was Saturday night when me and Colin woke up to you naked, face down, ass up in the bed next to us.
That's the most vulnerable position I could have been in, asleep and belly up or belly down.
Well,
they're ready to puncture my damn lung with something, I guess.
I definitely got that video, which was hysterical because everybody was kind of face down.
I said, at least let me get hard so I'm not fucking hanging there limp looking like shit. What a
dumbass. Oh, my goodness.
I cannot with Ethan. Ugh. So, Ethan, you guys, by the way, the weekend before decided to go to Miami and lost his phone. And then they stole his phone.
No, this was 3 weeks before in Miami. I lost my phone. Then I'm back in Miami.
they stole his phone and they Venmoed themselves like
$6,000, you guys. And the bank's giving him a hard time on getting it back because he didn't file a police report that his phone was stolen in Miami, because who the fuck does that anyway?
Right.
And then, so now the thing is people, hey, can I use your phone? Mine's dead. And then they Venmo themselves a bunch of money. And before you know it, it's gone.
Yep.
$6,000. So that's why Ethan's debit card wasn't working.
But then I couldn't file it as lost till I got back to work on Tuesday. They got stolen on Friday. So then there's a big gap of me not reporting it gone.
Right.
So it just looks bad because they're like, why would you not tell anybody? I said, well, what am I supposed to do? Call my IT department on a Sunday?
Right.
Right. Right. Well, Ethan, we'll have to have you on the podcast for sure. You're funny as shit. We're talking all about Ethan today.
No, can't wait to tune in. I got a good video of me in Waffle House next time.
Well, we also have a video of you with the Christmas tree out of Kaya's room that you just picked up and it fell apart and you put it on the bed and ran down the stairs. And we have all that too. I'm going to send you as well.
You let me know when you want videos and I got you.
Sounds good. Have a great day, Ethan.
That motherfucker is hilarious.
Hilarious.
Well, so tell me, how did he end up streaking? What night was that?
That it was one of the nights, Saturday
that
was or Sunday.
The first night when me and Colin, so what happened was we fell asleep. I guess Ethan fell asleep with us. Zach met a friend at the bar. And he comes upstairs with burgers and wakes us up. And he's like, let's go. We got shit we got to do. And so Ethan, I don't know, between the time that I was eating a burger and sitting in the chair getting my makeup done, Ethan somehow ended up in the hallway and then back in the room, walked. And then banging on the door naked to get back in.
Naked, you guys. At this very posh hotel.
He just walks straight past Zach, like, don't say anything. Just let me.
Well, isn't that like a regular occurrence?
Always.
Kind of people being naked in Miami? Like, don't they walk on the beach? And you guys you had something happening on a balcony that mom was looking at?
Oh, my God. Last time you were in Miami, you sent me a video of some girl on a balcony using a vibrator.
Yeah.
Like, so
but she was
like,
having sex minutes before with her boyfriend or whatever, right straight on the balcony. Like,
right. Like literally to the left, right below
right
us.
There.
I could see everything. And I didn't want to see it. She was smart, though, because her face was covered.
With what, a fucking towel?
No, she had she had one of those little flimsy tables that they usually have outside next to your things, like up on another table. So like you couldn't see her face. But then she stood up like a dumbass.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I don't think she was intentionally
trying
to hide
her face.
This
is my podcast profile photo, please.
Oh my God. He is a hot ass mess, Ethan.
Oh no.
Ethan's gotten his car stolen twice.
Yeah.
And so all in the last 2 months, he's gotten two cars stolen, his Range Rover out of Atlanta, which is everybody's getting their car stolen. Then he gets a rent a car and he gets that stolen.
2 days after he got the rent a car.
Then he loses his phone. They Venmo themselves $6,000. He's out $6,000 and a damn phone.
Right.
I think he has the worst luck.
I need to clear him with Sage.
Yeah, we need to, because the second that we landed from Vegas, we saw a photo of him and his two exes together.
Oh, yep.
Mm-hmm. And I think ever since then, literally, because 4 days later, his car was stolen.
You think those two are working on something?
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know. They have the same birthday and they posted the other day photos with each other saying like, I'm glad I get to share my birthday with you. I don't know.
Somebody what the
said,
hell?
I don't know what they said. This girl that we both know told me about it in the bathroom at the bar the other night.
Weird.
Yeah. Well, so you watched the Super Bowl.
Where did you watch the Super Bowl?
At the Steve Will Do It's hotel.
Oh, room. That's right. Yeah, you
they
guys
had, like,
were all yelling.
And his cousin or his uncle Timmy is wild. I think he put $10,000 on every money line that you could do.
Oh, so then Brielle calls us, and I was like, well, let's gamble. Let's bet, baby. Like, let's do it. So we won, which was great and fun.
Yeah.
My
friend owns like a casino, and he was online casino, and he was telling us all the ins and outs of what websites to use and what not to use. So once we got on the right one, we were winning.
Yeah. for sure. So do you plan on going to Miami anytime soon?
Yeah, I think we're going to go like the first week of March for Colin's birthday. So right when I get back from the Bahamas.
So wait, I left this out. So Ethan, there's a bunch of people around, right? And I'm on like Brielle's FaceTime and Ethan's like, I hate him, Kim. I hate him. And he just keeps saying this. And I don't know how many people were at your friend's place. There was probably 30 people or something. He just kept saying it. And I know who he's referring to in this, her friend's hotel room. And the person doesn't. And he just keeps yelling it. I hate him, Kim. Kim, I hate him. And I'll be talking to Brielle. And he's like, Kim. And I think he needs something. You know, I'm like, what? He's like, I hate him, Kim. I hate him. What? And I just, he's
why?
Fucking,
do we know why?
No, he's just.
No, he's just is just a lunatic.
Like, he's just hysterical. Like, he's just, he is very, very funny. And we'll definitely have to get him on the podcast. Ladies, he is single. How old is he, Brielle?
I don't know if you want to mingle, though.
Is he 28?
Yeah.
Nobody wants to mingle.
He went to Georgia Tech. He's very smart. Very fucking smart.
You better be ready to duck and run, I guess.
And he says his family isn't overly familiar with like who he really is. Like, not that he's a bad person, because he's a really good dude.
His mom and dad are pastors. And they're from like middle of nowhere. He's like, he says, I'm from White County all the time. He loves to let people know that he's from the middle of nowhere. He's got his little southern roots, and his mom and dad are pastors, so they just don't really have it. But his sister follows me on Instagram, and I'm like, your sister follows me. He's like, that's fine, she kind of knows.
So do you think he'll grow out of this?
Oh no, why would he?
No, I mean, like, yeah,
he has a nephew that he loves a lot, that he posts a lot on his page.
When he has a girlfriend, because I've known some girls he's dated, he's good to his girlfriend.
Sure.
And he wants kids, like all this shit. But I think the partying, Ethan, I don't think that will ever end. I think he'll be married and maybe in a club at 40, even if she's there.
You think so?
Yeah, he'll probably drag her ass out. He's never going to stop.
Do you think he'll be a cheater? Is he a cheater?
No. He's a cheater when he's not committed.
Yeah, of course.
What is it? What does that even mean?
Like if you're you'll be with Susie tonight and Trisha tomorrow and Amy the next day.
Like if you're seeing somebody, like...
If you're not boyfriend, girlfriend, like committed, you know, like.
Yeah, sure. Then he's probably got someone tonight and someone
tomorrow. So is it really cheating then? Are you just like,
field? Well, because he'll go to dinner with these girls and make them think that they have a chance, and then like it's just not there.
Well, that's not cheating.
Well, it is if you do it a couple times.
Aren't you just enjoying their company? Like,
no, you're talking a lot. You're hanging out a lot.
Does the girl think that they're dating? Like, well, why is it cheating? If nobody thinks that we're like...
If the girl thinks that there's something
they're in a relationship?
Not in a relationship, but she thinks something's more is going on. So she's not really talking to anybody else. She thinks that they're headed towards dating.
Right.
It's like that in-between stage where you're like, okay, you're not just friends, but you're not just dating.
Oh, okay.
That's when I think like...
Is it her fault for not asking? Like, hey, where are we?
No, because it takes a second to get there. You don't have 3 dates and then you're dating. Like, you have to like...
Right. So
see what happens. Yeah. Look, you've been out of the dating game for like 11 years. Calm down. You don't know what the terms are anymore.
I don't. What are the terms?
That's like a whole new
dating,
thing.
Dating, like, seeing, just having friends. Fun. Like, what are the stages? Fling,
are women,
fun.
How are all these women just like having sex with Ethan all the time? Like, I don't understand how somebody just
tells
like
them to do it or they die.
What does that mean?
I don't, it's just a line of.
I know,
but I mean, like, girls sex. People are drinking at the bar, I guess, right? And then this is like his opportunity. You know,
he calls them blonde bimbo. So he'll send me a photo of a blonde. He's like blonde bimbo number one, blonde bimbo number two.
Oh my god. I said, Brielle, why don't you date Ethan? She's like, Mom, fucking really? Like, I know
never
what he does.
I'm not
okay.
Stupid. All right.
Oh my goodness.
Well, anyways, we hope you enjoyed this episode of House of Ethan. And
House of Ethan. Oh my god.
We will have Ethan on the podcast in the future.
You know,
ladies,
we should have him right after the Bahamas so we can go over the Bahamas trip.
We'll definitely do that. And then you guys, if you have any questions for Ethan, feel free to email us at houseofkim
or if you're
at kimzolciak.com.
His Instagram account, so you can have his at name if you want to check out Ethan or see what he looks like.
Yeah.
Anything like that.
Oh my god.
Please don't. No, well, I don't know if they're curious.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you coming on, Brielle. We always love to hear your amazing stories. We're thankful and grateful every single day that you are still smiling in front of us.
Yeah, okay, buddy. It's Ethan Oliver McAllister, MCCALL.
At this point, we might lock you in your room with the stories.
You need to lock Ethan in, not me.
You
I'm
keep
good.
Telling us.
Well, I keep showing up fine.
Oh yeah, but you kind of keep getting drug along. We don't, you know, you gotta be careful.
I'm very tired today. I wasn't planning on going out last weekend, but Ethan
You got to be Ethan careful. Maybe.
See, Brielle's like, I'm going to stay in this weekend. And then all of a sudden she's gone. She's like, I don't know. Ethan called or Zach's like wants to go out. And it's like, dude, is it that easy for you to just be like, sure.
What you should do is go out and then, but just stay sober. Like,
what? I used to do that until I was legit like 22. And I just can't do that anymore. When you're dealing with Ethan and Elizabeth, I can't.
Well, it could be really entertaining for you.
It is entertaining as I'm drinking.
Yeah. Otherwise, I don't think she'd like find it too entertaining.
Morning. Yeah. Anyways,
well, I love to watch her snaps. She's pretty good about not posting on her regular stuff, just on close friends. And I'm just literally in stitches. Zach and her are rapping some song I've never heard. The other night she sent me a video. Colin's like staring out the window. They're probably screaming in his ear. There's like 25 of them in a freaking Uber. It's just a mess. But I mean, it's the highlight of my weekend always is to kind of just see what she's doing and be a fucking nervous wreck at the same time.
Yeah.
I always make it home safe.
Let's hope.
Knock on wood.
Let's hope. Thanks so much for joining in, Brielle. You and Ethan should get your own podcast, okay, honey?
Right.
You know what? That would be something. All right. Now you might
gotta,
be honest.
But you got to have a voice of reason on there.
Ethan's Weekends.
Yeah.
No, meaning Ethan's like weekends. Meaning like somebody who's going to talk sense into you guys.
I'm the one who talks sense into Ethan.
Yeah, you're the mom.
I am the mom.
We're going to have Ethan's Weekends. On our podcast once a month, I think, to get an update on how he's doing. And him and Brielle will just talk about their weekend.
Yeah.
I think that'll be great.
I don't know if that's safe, but yeah, we'll do it.
We'll see.
Proceed with caution when you listen to us, guys. If you're too sensitive to shit like this, tune out.
Right.
Bye.
Bye, Brielle.
Well, that was quite fun and entertaining.
Ethan streaks again, baby. Like,
we're going to reel it back in a little bit. And speaking of the Super Bowl, as Brielle was down there again in Miami for the Super Bowl, but I don't even know if remembers the game. Congratulations to Tom Brady and the Glazer family. Brielle actually knows the daughters of the family, so it was really cool.
Kendall
for
Glacier.
Them.
She Glacier. I call it
Glacier. It's Glazer.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's my tongue. My yeah. like. List yeah. that I have right now.
That's funny.
Kendall like loved Brielle or whatever, and they became friends, and she owns Stony Clover, which is and has the cutest like duffel bags, luggage, makeup bags. I mean, the cutest stuff. But they're a really sweet family, and so we were really rooting. Not only do we love Tom Brady, but we also really wanted this win for them as well. So
we had some fun ties to them, so we actually spent it here at the house. We made tacos and just hung out. And
Corey was screaming Tom Brady for Tom Brady. KJ was just reiterating to me yesterday how he had his shirt off and he was swinging it around. And he's like, woo, screaming. And what did he say? He said, that's my main man, Tom Brady. Like, he was just screaming through the house like a lunatic.
Oh, man.
It was so funny. I had it in my office and I was kind of working on the computer. So I was doing... two things at one time. My favorite part of the Super Bowl was her, who did America. Anyways, whatever.
Yeah.
I loved her outfit. She played the guitar. Like, it was...
That's cool.
Electric guitar. It was mind-blowing. Yeah. Like, I all of a sudden became a fan. I didn't even know who she was.
Right.
It was unbelievable to me. Just the whole vibe.
Very
but anyways.
Cool. No, but funny you say that. Like... again, Kim mentioned we put a little money on it, so that makes things even more interesting as you're watching, because you're really wanting things to go your way, because that's always fun, or the way that you bet. What I think is really cool, we can really reflect how Tom Brady's success in football can translate into success in life. I think if all of us could have just an ounce of what this guy has got going on in his brain, we'd be on a whole nother level in our lives. And as the game was over and people were kind of talking and articles were starting to get written and stuff like that, one of the coolest things ever that just, again, validates what we talk about here in Ask, Believe, Receive was he had texted his teammates the week before the Super Bowl three simple words, and it said, "We will win." Every night in the evening around 11 o'clock, he would text his teammates, and all he would say was, "We will win." And he had started to manifest that thought, and he had manifested that win before the game was even played. And there was a saying, and it's kind of disappeared, I feel like, in sports and just in general, that really seriously, like 75% of the game is the mental part of it and understanding or being...
being mentally ready to just win and do whatever it takes. And so his mentality, I mean, it's just, you can see it. And what's even more cool about the whole situation is that was questioned somewhat, like, was it really him in New England? Was it Bill Belichick? Was it the duo together? You can now see that him as a person and him as a leader and leading by example and leading by making connections with people and really understanding them as people and knowing that to lead people, whether it's your family, your coworkers, you as a boss, you have to be invested in people. And when you ask somebody to do something, you better be doing it yourself. You know, you can't have these standards for your teammates or for your coworkers or for your family if you don't have those standards for yourself. If you're not in that film room
right
until 7 o'clock at night, you can't walk up to a guy and say, well, study more film. You just can't do that. So he is 1,000% committed. He leads by example and he pulls people along with him. And again, just when he enters those games, he is so far advanced in the mental side of it that overcomes any shortcoming he may have during the game, whether it's a mental mistake or a physical mistake. And so, again, that preparation for his performance just really is pretty nuts. But again, congratulations to him. And
it was really cool. You saw after the game, immediately went up and grabbed his son and gave his son and his family a big hug. I mean, I think definitely his wife and kids have something to do with his wins always as well.
Right. I mean, yeah, you gotta have a supporting cast around you. I mean, you can't do it on your own. Like if Giselle wasn't there to take care of the kids at times, then I mean, he wouldn't be able to watch that film. So 7 Super Bowl wins are all in his mind. I mean, that's just 7.
That's pretty nuts.
7 rings. And I'm slightly not even doubting that he might get 8 before he's done. I mean,
I'm sure he will. It's in your mind.
I'll end on this. I was trying to get KJ and Cash to kind of understand how impressive this was. And I said, do you guys know who Babe Ruth was? And they're like, yeah, he was the greatest, you know, most home runs. And so my children, Babe Ruth has been long gone. And even KJ and Cash still know who Babe Ruth is. That's the type of athlete Tom Brady is. Like, are my grandkids' grandkids will still know who Tom Brady was. Like, that's, he has transcended, like, he will be known.
It's pretty mind-blowing.
Yeah, he will be known for hundreds of years as one of the greatest.
Greatest of all
In my opinion,
time.
The greatest. Just because of,
you can see it in his eyes, like his, I said. You can just see it in his eyes.
Right. His
period.
His accomplishments. And being an athlete, again, it's not always the physical part. Like, yeah, he may not be the fastest or the strongest or whatever, but it's the continued success, you know. Like,
didn't he take a pay cut so that he could, his team members in the Patriots could,
yeah, that's
something
that's,
like that?
That's what's been mentioned, whether that's factual or not, you know, I don't know. I mean, he stayed there because he wanted to compete and wanted to win, and they knew that, I think, and took advantage of a situation where they said, well, he will mm-hmm. probably take less than what he's actually mm-hmm. worth mm-hmm. because he wants to be competitive like this. He was in a system that he loved with a coach that was really helping right. mentor him. And so
it's obviously Tom Brady is my point. It's Tom Brady, baby.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're big Tom Brady fans. And you know what? It's kind of sad when, like, Super Bowl is over.
I don't
over
know
when,
like, how this love him or hate him kind of thing. Like, how, I don't even know how.
How do you hate him?
Right.
It's because he has something you fucking don't.
Right.
Or
but
he
learn
has,
from
like,
that.
People,
like,
so here's the thing. Like, I realize, like, even on Instagram with comments and stuff like that, right? The picture that I posted of you and I on Valentine's Day, I have my arm around you. Remember that bra, like, that was kind of built into the shirt? So I have my arm around you so it's not, like, fitting exactly correct.
Sure.
And so they're like, your boobs look saggy. The top doesn't fit. I hope you got on sale. The shirt was $1,000, number one. Not that that matters. And number two, it fit me great. But when you put your arms around somebody, it's going to move and stretch. And I don't really give a fuck. I look great in that picture, right? But you're fucking mad because I have something you don't have. That's when somebody is hates somebody, right? Or has something negative to say. I genuinely think it's because you're lacking it. I really believe that you look at it like, Tom, how could you hate Tom Brady? He is a loving father from what we see, husband, an incredible athlete, super driven, dedicated to the team that he's playing on now, Tampa. Like, how could people hate? What is it? You hate because he's been to the Super Bowl. People say he needs to not go to the Super Bowl anymore. Give somebody else a chance.
No.
Why?
That's not what competition's about.
Why give somebody else another chance? Right. Like, why would you? I'm not going to fucking step back so that you can go play. Right. You know what I mean?
If they want a chance, they better step up their game.
Right.
Like, get to work.
Right. 100%. Like, you know? I look at life and say, like, okay. Like, when Brielle asked me, who could I be for it? Who would I want to be? I said, Tom Brady, just to get into his head for one day.
Yeah.
He has something that I want to have. Like, I try to stay positive. I'm very focused. I'm driven as well. But, like, he's at an all-time high.
Right.
I feel like you can't really get much higher on the hierarchy, however you want to say it,
right,
than Tom Brady at this point in his life. Yeah. Or anybody's. You know, he's a GOAT. And I think that it genuinely stems from insecurities within people that say, you know, like, I hate Tom Brady. Give somebody else a chance. Yeah. Like, that's the dumbest shit I ever heard. Yeah. Like, Tom Brady's not going to step down to give you a chance. Right. Like, play harder, play smarter, figure it out. That's kind of how I look at it, you know? Nobody owes you anything in this world, right?
No.
And he certainly isn't going to just chill out and relax on the bench so that somebody else has a chance to go to the Super Bowl. You said one of his kids likes football, the other one doesn't or something, right? You read at one point. So I wonder if his one older son looks just like him. I wonder if they'll follow in their footsteps. It's always funny to me to NFL players in general. Like, I wonder if our boys will ever play. Like, it's funny to see people that played and then their children, their sons come in and play. You know, right. Like, it's really, really cool to me for some reason. Right. I don't know why. Or when there's brothers, like Babineau's brothers. There's another set of brothers. Anyways, there's a couple sets of brothers.
But I mean, you can even say, like, you can't even argue the fact that, oh, he was given this opportunity. He was drafted number one. No, he was not. He
had the odds totally against him.
He worked for every single thing that he has ever succeeded and gotten from. I mean, he was drafted in the 7th round. He was a backup at Michigan. He was a backup in high school. Yeah. Like, nothing was ever handed to him.
Inspiring story.
Nothing was handed to him. He wasn't born into it. He just put in the work. He put in the time. As you can see, that's what is a recipe for success. Having the right mindset and putting in the time.
I mean, I think in your mentality.
Right.
You are what you think you are.
Right.
KJ said the other day, just on a side note, we're going to wrap this up. He said, I can't, Dad, I can't. And Croy went into this 15-minute conversation about, you know, yes, you can. Like, that pisses me off. Don't ever say you can't, KJ, when you can. Don't ever say you can't, period. Which is true. Like, KJ, I think he was trying to balance on one foot. I don't know, it was something so minor, but it was a chance as a parent to teach a lesson. I kind of walked in on it or whatever. Never say I can't, right? No matter how many times you're told no, like the FedEx, Fred Smith. Is that his name? Fred Smith?
Founder of FedEx.
Yeah, founder of FedEx. Anyways, he had like an F. He got an F on his paper about FedEx and what his goal was in the future. And they gave him, and he failed the whole thing. And look at FedEx. We see their truck every 10 feet, you know?
Right.
So no matter how many times you're told no, the answer is never no. This goes back to Kaya, my sweet Kaya, who might be a Tom Brady baby. Yeah. All right, you guys, thanks so much for tuning into this episode of House of Kim. We'll be back next week.
Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the House of Kim with Kim Zolciak-Bierman. Catch new episodes weekly at pioneerpodcasting.com and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Love the show? Don't forget to leave a rating and review.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.